the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Impeachment overdrive.
People don't want anything to do with impeachment. It's a phony scam.
That is our top story at noon. The whistleblower who launched the Democratic probe into President Trump says he will answer written questions submitted by House Republicans. Legal analyst Jonathan Turley.
Using written questions and answers is obviously not the same as a live interview. The answers in writing are often written or at least approved by counsel. There is nothing spontaneous.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says giving written answers just doesn't cut it.
We're talking about the removal of the President of the United States. That individual should come before the committee. He could come down to the basement, but he needs to answer the questions.
President Trump never said to the Ukrainian president, do this and you'll get your aid. It's simply not here.
White House counselor Kellyanne Conway. Over the weekend, President Trump again demanded to know the identity of the whistleblower. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan.
I think the American people have a right to know who the individual is who started this whole thing. 63 million people voted for Donald Trump in 2016. They have a right to know what this is all based on and what the Democrats are doing.
The Democrats will hold one more week of closed-door depositions. Then, later this month, the impeachment probe could go public.
I think they're going to begin very soon. We have one more week of interviews that will take place, and then I'm pretty confident we're going to move into a public hearing setting.
That's California Democrat Jackie Speier. Four White House officials, meantime, scheduled to give depositions in the House impeachment inquiry today, will not testify. Those officials skipping the closed-door hearing. Next year's highly anticipated general election, now less than a year away. Political analyst Ed O'Keefe says the Democratic presidential race is changing shape.
Polling released this weekend shows that nationally the Democratic race for president is a three-person race between former Vice President Joe Biden and Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. But here in Iowa, where the candidates are paying more attention to the voters and the voters to the candidates, it's Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg who has slipped up into third place ahead of Biden.
Political analyst Ed O'Keefe. Over the weekend, the Democratic field got a little bit smaller when former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke dropped out. Federal appeals court has dealt President Trump a blow today, ruling that the commander-in-chief does not have blanket immunity when it comes to his state tax returns.
This investigation is into Donald Trump's life before he became president.
Legal analyst Kara Scannell.
They're sending this technically back to the district court to see if the president is going to make a different argument. Technically sending it back to allow the president's team to make another move.
The Trump legal team today says it will appeal the tax return decision to the U.S. Supreme Court. President Trump has threatened to cut federal aid to California, saying Governor Gavin Newsom has done a terrible job of forest management. This is the Golden State tries to rebuild following several weeks of devastating wildfires. In Tehran today, chants of death to America on this, the 40th anniversary of the start of the U.S. hostage crisis. Barry Rosen among the 52 Americans held captive for 444 days.
I was told that if I didn't sign a declaration stating that I was a spy for the United States, that I would be executed.
The U.S. hostages released just as President Reagan was being sworn into office. It is the largest single-day commutation in U.S. history. More than 500 inmates in Oklahoma released today after the State Pardon and Parole Board commuted their sentences.
These are real lives, real people, with real families, and with real friends. And they get to go home.
Oklahoma House Majority Leader John Eccles says early release program for nonviolent offenders was approved by voters in a statewide referendum. The move expected to save Oklahoma taxpayers $12 million. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has ordered a cleanup of homeless camps in the capital city of Austin. The Republican says he is frustrated with how that city is handling the situation. So too are a lot of residents.
We drove into Austin and under the underpass, we saw a whole tent city, and it's like, why does that even exist?
I've literally seen people urinating on this sidewalk, right here, right there.
It's not a good look for Austin.
It's not.
The Texas State GOP Chairman James Dickey blames progressive policies for the homeless problem.
Leftists continually believe that if someone with a bigger heart tries the same failed policy over and over again, that things will get better, but they don't get better, they get worse.
Homeless encampments have increased 5% in Austin since last year. This man says if he's ordered to leave his homeless shelter, he'll just set up shop somewhere else.
People come from all over the country to come to Austin because it's famous. This is a famous place to live on the streets. Everybody knows, man, you want to live on the streets, go to Austin.
Why?
You don't even have to buy food. Everybody feeds you. They give you money. You can party. It's a blast, man.
Governor Abbott says he will not allow Austin to turn into another San Francisco or Los Angeles. Apple plans to spend $2.5 billion to help with the homeless problem in California. CEO Tim Cook says his company feels a profound civic responsibility to ensure the state remains a vibrant place to live. More Americans staying in their homes for longer periods of time.
The amount of time Americans stay in their homes has risen to about 13 years. That means those houses are staying off the market 5 years longer than they would have in 2010. And the Wall Street Journal says that helps explain why home sales have been faltering. Baby boomers, most to blame. Many are staying healthier later in life and are choosing not to downsize. Result, the supply of homes for sale is approaching its lowest level in the 37 years that such records have been kept, pushing prices higher.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. McDonald's CEO Steve Easterbrook no longer with the company. The burger giant says it terminated Easterbrook's contract after investigating a consensual relationship with an employee. In an email to McDonald's staff, the 52-year-old said he violated company policy. Easterbrook called it a mistake. No pilot, no problem. Correspondent Chris Van Cleve says new technology being developed that can land an airplane without a pilot on board.
New Autoland system is designed to self-activate when there's been a prolonged period of no pilot activity. It could also prevent more common accidents, crashes like the one that killed John F. Kennedy Jr., where it's believed he got disoriented in weather and lost control. Eric Sargent is Garmin's test pilot. He took us up in a Piper M600 with the new system.
How confident are you in this system to safely land?
Really confident. I would put my family in here in a heartbeat and be confident that if they pushed the button, if I wasn't around, that it would get them down safely.
Emergency auto land activated.
The plane then picks the closest airport from a list of thousands worldwide where it can safely land. It radios the tower, declares an emergency, and updates passengers on the approaching landing.
That's Chris Van Cleve reporting. Still to come this Monday, early voting over. Election day tomorrow, and the Pennsylvania Turnpike about to go cashless.
Well, good afternoon to all. We're looking at a fair amount of cloudiness this afternoon, and we're looking at a few showers tonight and tomorrow. Winter returns later in the week. Forecast details are coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and PA, Monday, November 4th. The storm cleanup continues today from those wicked winds Halloween night. In hard-hit Buffalo, crews have been hard at work trying to clear over 100 trees that had fallen down.
And our priorities go with first opening up roads to allow emergency vehicles to access, mains and secondaries being the first priority.
Buffalo Public Works Commissioner Mike Finn.
Mains and secondaries we got in very good shape yesterday, so today we're really working down towards residential streets.
We're not going to rebuild their house, but to be able to make sure that they have a safe, warm, dry place to stay, that really sometimes it's just knowing someone's there.
Jay Bonifede with the American Red Cross says his organization helping out a number of families impacted by last week's storm.
You know, having done a few of these, whether it's a house fire here or some of the major disasters that I've been a part of across the country, a lot of times it's just knowing that somebody is there and that somebody is paying attention.
Utility companies say they hope to have nearly all the power restored across New York and Pennsylvania by the end of today. Massive ship stranded for a century on some rocks near Niagara Falls has been dislodged. The once unmovable landmark shifted in those fierce storms Halloween night. The rusty ship moved about 150 feet downriver and is now about 2,000 feet from the edge of the Horseshoe Falls.
That also gives you a sense of the power of the river here and the power of Niagara Falls, that the water always wins. So the barge really didn't have a hope of lasting forever.
Jim Hill with the Niagara Falls Parks Commission says the ship broke free from a tugboat back in 1918 and has been stuck in the middle of the Niagara River ever since. Officials are confident its new resting place is secure, and they're not worried about it breaking free again and going over the falls. They're picking up the pieces today in PA after a massive fire destroyed a little bit of piece of history. New at Noon, Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Today, state police begin working to figure out what sparked the massive fire, the iconic inn at Pocono Manor.
This is probably the largest fire that I've ever been involved in. I've been in the fire service for over 30 years.
The structure reduced to a pile of rubble after a blaze began Friday and continued to form hotspots throughout the weekend. Residents tell WNEP they're in disbelief over the damage.
Devastation. Total devastation. A historical place gone.
State police fire marshals say the fire began in one specific building of the manor. They'll watch surveillance video from inside the inn to determine what caused the blaze. Firefighters anticipate battling hotspots for several days until the scene is safe. Thankfully, no one was injured in the fire, and owners say they plan to rebuild the resort. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Police in Rochester say an officer was killed on his way to work this past weekend after accidentally shooting himself, which caused him to crash his car into a ravine in Penfield, New York, Saturday night.
We're a family. We're our family, and we're going to make sure that the rest of the family is taken care of. You know, right now, we're all grieving.
Rochester Police Chief LaRon Singletary says 52-year-old Manny Ortiz was pronounced at the scene. The 22-year veteran of the Rochester Police Department is survived by his fiancée and three children. Election Day is tomorrow, and in New York, the state keeps getting bluer.
Yeah, new Board of Election numbers show 18,000 fewer active registered Republican voters now than during 2016 when Donald Trump was elected president. Stats reveal Democrats added more than 250,000 enrolled voters during the same period. While enrolled Democrats have eclipsed Republicans by a margin of more than 2-1, there are nearly 63,000 more voters who don't identify with a party. Tomorrow is Election Day. Polls will be open from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. in New York. In Pennsylvania, polling places will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 in the evening. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thanks, Tracy. Yesterday, the final day for early voting in New York. Polls officially closed last night. More than 26,000 New Yorkers took advantage of the chance to cast an early ballot.
Everybody that we've talked to has raved about it. It's been an easy process to get them in and out and vote. And the inspectors really picked up on the electronic poll books. And the people who voted actually loved the technology. Instead of flipping through the books, they were able to just tell their name and sign on a pad.
This year marked the first time ever for early voting in New York. One person, one vote? Well, maybe not. Voters in New York City who are used to picking one candidate per race could soon be marking their ballots for up to five. Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, a measure on the city's ballot tomorrow will let voters rank their choices in primaries and special elections for mayor, city comptroller, public advocate, borough president, and city council starting in the year 2021. The controversial system known as ranked choice is already in use in cities like San Francisco, Minneapolis, and Cambridge, Massachusetts. Supporters say ranked choice voting forces candidates to broaden their appeal beyond a narrow base in hopes of being chosen second or third by voters whose favorite choice is someone else. Critics of the system call it unconstitutional and confusing. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. The Pennsylvania Turnpike has finished 4 years of testing. It's now full speed ahead on a $129 million project to become a completely cashless toll system by the fall of 2021. Family Life's Terry Diener.
Although the system won't take cash after that point, the agency expects to continue using toll booths at some exit ramps across the state until 2026. The The project also means that it will eliminate 600 remaining jobs for toll collectors and toll auditors, who will have the opportunity to move into other turnpike jobs or take classes at the turnpike's expense to begin a new career. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Need a job? The UPS needs you.
We expect another record peak season this year, with daily package deliveries nearly doubling compared to our average of 20 million per day. In order to make that happen, once again, we're recruiting about 100,000 people for seasonal jobs.
Danelle McCusker, Vice President for Human Resources at UPS. She says a lot of folks who start out as seasonal help end up with a full-time gig at the company.
For the last 3 years, 35% of the people hired as seasonal package handlers were later hired in a permanent position when the holidays were over.
For more information, check them out online, upsjobs.com. The Bills win again. Sunny time, your two-minute drill.
Yeah, we start in Orchard Park. Josh Allen throwing for a touchdown, ran for another. Bills beat the Redskins 24-9 to improve to 6-2 on the year. The best start since 93. Here's Josh.
You know, I mean, I feel good being 6-2. Obviously, there's still a lot of things that we need to learn from and grow from. And I think today we did a good job of, you know, establishing the run game and going out there. Our O-line did a great job doing that early.
In Philadelphia, Carson Wentz threw for 239 yards and a touchdown. Eagles beat the Bears 22-14. Team effort, says head coach Doug Peterson.
I can trust my offensive line. I can trust my quarterback. I can put it in their hands. I can trust, you know, the guys on the perimeter, our defense. Our defensive line is getting healthy and added some talent there. I just, things are starting to come for us.
Philadelphia now 5-4. In Pittsburgh, Adam Vinatieri for the game winner for the Colts against the Steelers.
Oh, he missed it badly.
But misses it. Steelers win 26-24 to improve to 4-4 on the year. First win on the year for the Dolphins over their former head coach Adam Gase. As the Dolphins beat the Jets 26-18, Gase.
You don't put in all this time and effort to come out here and lose. I mean, we got to get things fixed. That's what they know. That's what I told them. That's what the other guys in the locker room were saying the same thing.
Both teams now 1-7 on the year. Brandon Allen threw for 193 yards and two touchdowns. Broncos beat the Browns 24-19. The Browns are now just 2-6 on the year. Baker Mayfield.
It's got to be a singular focus, like I keep saying. We don't need to look up till we're at the very end and have no regrets about how we attacked and finished the season.
Monday Night Football in the Big Apple. Dallas visiting the New York Giants. The Washington Nationals at the White House today. Team owner Ted Lerner.
They say good things come to those who wait. 95 years is a pretty long wait.
And Kevin Harvick is moving on to the Championship Four after winning the AAA Texas 500 in Fort Worth. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come this Monday, the impeachment probe about to go public. Daylight saving time, bad for your health. And Buffalo's singing cops. At it again.
Remember Jack Phillips and Masterpiece Cake Shop? Well, another eerily similar case from Kentucky has led to another similar court victory. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Blaine Adamson is the owner of Hands-On Originals, a Christian outfitter's shop in Lexington, Kentucky. Hands-On creates customized apparel such as t-shirts, hoodies, and baseball caps. In 2012, when Adamson got a phone call from the Gay and Lesbian Services Organization, or GLSO, asking him to print t-shirts for a local gay pride festival, he explained he could not accept the order because it would mean expressing a message that violated his Christian faith. So he offered to refer GLSO to another shop that would gladly help them. You can probably guess what happened next. The GLSO filed a complaint with the Lexington-Fayette Urban County Human Rights Commission. The GLSO also widely publicized what happened, which led to protest, a boycott, vile phone calls, and threats of violence. The Lexington-Fayette Urban County Human Rights Commission ruled against Adamson and ordered him to print whatever GLSO wanted. But even that wasn't enough. Taking a page out of the Colorado Civil Rights Commission's How to Persecute Jack Phillips and Masterpiece Cake Shop playbook, they then ordered Adamson to undergo diversity training. Well, thankfully, in a positive similarity to the Jack Phillips case, Blaine Adamson received help from the Alliance Defending Freedom. Even though two different lower courts ruled in favor of Adamson, GLSO took its case to the Kentucky Supreme Court. And on Thursday, 7 years after the incident, the court ruled unanimously that GLSO had no standing and therefore no right to sue Adamson. The court ruled that because it was an organization and not an individual, GLSO had no standing under Kentucky law to file a suit, which means
As the Alliance Defending Freedom explained, the decision didn't directly address the broader First Amendment questions regarding Blaine's right to live and work consistently with his faith. However, and this is important, in his concurring opinion, Justice David Buckingham made clear that the Human Rights Commission went beyond its charge of preventing discrimination in public accommodation and instead attempted to compel hands-on originals to engage in expression with which it disagreed. But Justice Buckingham even went further, putting on record that hands-on originals doesn't discriminate based on, well, anything. The record, Buckingham wrote, discloses three essential facts. First, hands-on has an established practice of declining orders because of what hands-on perceives to be their morally objectionable messages, including sexually explicit or violent messages. Second, hands-on accepted and completed an order from a lesbian singer who performed at the 2012 Pride Festival. Third, at no time did hands-on inquire or know the sexual orientation or gender identity of the persons with whom it dealt with on behalf of GLSO. These facts indicate that hands-on was in good faith objecting to the message it was being asked to disseminate. Well, hopefully, with another decision like this in the books, Christian business owners will soon no longer be forced to accept or promote this new sexual orthodoxy. If that day comes, it'll be a win for everyone. After all, if Christians can be forced to promote messages with which they fundamentally disagree, then, as ADF points out, it can force anyone to do the same. An LGBT printer who declines to create t-shirts criticizing same-sex marriage, a Democratic speechwriter who declines to write speeches for the Republican National Convention, or a Muslim singer who declines to sing Christian songs at a concert. That's a world none of us wants to live in. Come to Breakpoint.org, click on this commentary for more resources on the hands-on case, as well as for ADF and other organizations that defend free speech and religious liberty. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
About 20 minutes past the hour, Monday afternoon. Let's take it outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the weather map, we're tracking a cold front that'll generate a few showers here tonight and tomorrow. A stronger front will arrive later in the weekend. Low pressure on that front could well mean accumulating snow for much of the area in the Thursday-Friday time frame, something we'll keep a real close eye on over time. In the meantime, for this afternoon, rather cloudy skies, but very little of any rainfall. High temperatures, upper 40s to the low to mid-50s. It'll be rather cloudy tonight and tomorrow with a few showers around and temperatures mainly in the 40s and low 50s. And then there could be a touch of lake effect rain and snow tomorrow night and Wednesday morning east of Lake Erie. Otherwise, on Wednesday, it's chillier with clouds and sunshine, a sprinkle or flurry, and high temperatures mostly in the 40s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. If you're just joining us here, some of the stories we're following for you today, Monday, November 4th, President Trump rejecting an offer by the whistleblower to answer Republicans with written questions in the House impeachment inquiry. Correspondent Stephen Portnoy at the White House.
Though he never testified in the Mueller probe beyond answering questions in writing, the president says written answers by the whistleblower are not acceptable. Mr. Trump says the first person to tip Congress off to his call with Ukraine's president must be brought forward to testify. Democrats say the whistleblower's testimony is not necessary, as several witnesses have already confirmed an effort to apply pressure on Ukraine to publicly announce the investigations the president wanted.
Stephen Portnoy at the White House. A little party today in Tehran.
They're celebrating Death to America in Tehran to mark the 40th anniversary of the takeover of the U.S. Embassy. The American hostages were held there for 444 days.
That's Deborah Rodriguez reporting. Daylight saving may be bad for your health. Researchers say the number of heart attacks increase around the time change in both the spring and in the fall. The time change also coincides with a rise in traffic accidents and sleep deprivation, which can lead to more workplace injuries and emergency room visits. Is vaping a gateway to smoking cigarettes?
The two-year study of 8th and 10th graders suggests that kids who vape are not more likely than non-vapers to move on to smoking conventional tobacco products. Those who do take up smoking are much more likely to be influenced by parental education, peer smoking, anxiety, and other substance abuse than they are by e-cigarette use.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. A piece of car racing history is changing hands.
It is the greatest spectacle in racing.
Billionaire Roger Penske, now the new owner of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Named racetrack has been owned by the family of Tony Holman, who bought the rundown speedway in 1945. Penske is the winningest team owner in Indianapolis 500 history with 18 victories. Penske has missed only six Indy 500s since 1951, when he attended his first race with his father.
That's Jim Crisula reporting. 6,000 people gathered for a Kanye West Sunday service in Baton Rouge, Louisiana last night. Eyewitnesses say 1,000 people gave their lives to Christ during an altar call. The American Bible Society giving away free Bibles in response to a spike in Google searches related to the release of Kanye's Jesus is King album. Some of the search results include Jesus and What Do Christians Believe? We are 25 minutes past the hour this Monday afternoon, and you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Missions in Action, a feature that focuses on the work of missionaries who are delivering the good news of Jesus around the region and around the world. Today we're visiting with Beth Russell. She reaches out to members of the community through Moms in Prayer.
My name is Beth Russell, and I'm an area coordinator for the GLOW region, which would be Genesee, Livingston, Orleans, and Wyoming County.
So for those listeners in Pennsylvania, that's Western New York.
Yes.
So in a nutshell, what is the international group Moms in Prayer?
We are a group of praying moms that pray for schools and children.
Beth, what prompted you personally to get involved in a prayer ministry?
From Focus on the Family back in 1993. I heard it on the radio. When I heard Fern's call to be a mighty force of praying women, that your prayers do matter and God will answer and you will see changes in your school, I definitely wanted to see all of those things happen. And I was a school bus driver at the time, so I saw the need within the school. It just grabbed my heart, and I said, yes. I am not a prayer warrior, but I'll just stand in the gap. And you know, the Lord just did a marvelous work in my heart, and I was able to become an area coordinator years later.
Wow.
That was in 93.
I was going to say, how long have you been doing this now?
Only 10 years as an area coordinator, but as a leader, I started in 93, but then I stopped to homeschool my children. Then when my two boys went to high school, I said, I'm going to start a Moms in Prayer group here in Attica. I had not realized that there was opportunity for an area coordinator, and I knew that God had prepared my heart for this. He was homeschooling my heart while I was homeschooling my children, and he prepared me for this moment in time.
Now, a Moms in Prayer group, if you could paint the picture, how often do you meet, and then how many people typically show up?
We meet once a week. We pray for 1 hour, and we can have anywhere from 2 to 6 moms, but we have 12 praying for the school district of Attica.
Wow.
Two different groups.
As an area coordinator, you're overseeing several of those smaller groups, correct?
I am. My job as an area coordinator is once a year we get together and we have a training. A state coordinator has a getaway, and all of us area coordinators meet in one location. We have training that comes from the home office in California, and then whatever training we get, we bring that down to our leaders.
If you could tell us one thing that you have learned about prayer from this whole journey, what has stood out to you?
That God does hear and he does answer. His desire is to increase our faith and our trust in him. I know we're talking about prayer, but because we dig into the scriptures at the very beginning on an attribute of God, whether he's the holy God or he is a just God, we will look up those verses. It increases our knowledge of the word of God so we can pray more intelligently.
And
we get to know our God better. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It starts stirring in the spirit of the women as they pray for their children and the school.
Can you tell us about one answer to prayer that has stood out?
So we had a mom join us, and she was having a hard time getting her son up every morning. She was really struggling with that, and we prayed for her. Next time she came back, she said, my son got up the next morning, did not say a word, and just did what he needed to do and got off to school. We were amazed at that. Yep. And then another mother, not too long ago, she had a daughter who was not really making friends in school. They were just hi, goodbye kind of friends, but no real friend. And this was going on since she was 12 years old, and she was 16.
Mm.
No real friend. And we prayed, and within a matter of a week, a gal who was Chinese befriended this gal, and they became good friends. And she finally had a real friend.
Wow, I love it. God, you know, mm-hmm. He cares. He wants us to be specific in our prayer requests.
Yes.
I know you've got an event coming up.
Yes. This event is called A Wall of Prayer that takes in 13 school districts. We're asking for one liaison in the church to bring two or three women with her, or a college-age young lady, or a teenage girl, and come and pray with us. And this is in Pavilion, New York, November 15th. From 7 to 8:30, they'll see answers to those prayers. That's the fun part, when they go, oh, here's an answer.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, that mm-hmm. event's happening next Friday night.
Right.
Beth, for somebody who maybe doesn't live in this area of mm-hmm. New York, how would you encourage them to get started by being a regular prayer warrior?
I would say contact headquarters, momsinprayer.org, and see if there's a group in their area already. And if not a group, they will have somebody train you to start a group.
That's Beth Russell with Moms in Prayer. I'm Tracy Lynn with Family Life News. How is the Lord guiding you to reach out to others?
Thank you, Tracy. Missions in Action comes your way Mondays during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the weather map, we're tracking a cold front that'll generate a few showers here tonight and tomorrow. A stronger front will arrive later in the weekend. Low pressure on that front could well mean accumulating snow for much of the area in the Thursday-Friday time frame, something we'll keep a real close eye on over time. In the meantime, for this afternoon, rather cloudy skies, but very little, if any, rainfall. High temperatures, upper 40s to the low to mid-50s. Be rather cloudy tonight and tomorrow with a few showers around and temperatures mainly in the 40s and low 50s. And then there could be a touch of lake effect rain and snow tomorrow night and Wednesday morning east of Lake Erie. Otherwise, on Wednesday, it's chillier with clouds and sunshine, a sprinkle or flurry, and high temperatures mostly in the 40s.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, finally at noon. If you were there, you most likely heard him. The Buffalo Singing Cops brought their talents to New Era Field on Sunday, singing the national anthem before the start of the Bills-Redskins game. The crooning crime fighters had the stadium rocking. Officers Michael Norwood and Mo Badger became famous earlier this year when a video of them singing inside a restaurant went viral. The duo made an appearance on The Ellen Show and recently signed a contract to create their own sitcom. They are talented. That is the world we live in this Monday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.